You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
This podcast is brought to you by Voyage AC.
So, what do you think?
About the dress or the hair, because both are lovely.
Thank you, but I'm talking about my neck. Smell right here. Do you know what that is?
Oh, I know that perfume. I like that perfume.
Yeah. It's called Dirty Whore.
Of course.
Yeah, and it has notes of rose and amber that are just super sexy. Voyage AC has all these surprising scents, beautiful scents, incredible candles, diffusers, gorgeous face, body, and home products. So how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find Voyage AC on our website at theonlyonepod.com, or you can go to www.voyageac.com directly. That's VoyageeTCIE.com.
And as you know, Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount, which is really just supposed to be for me, but she's giving it to all our listeners right now, right? Mm-hmm. That's 15% off everything you buy. I use it all the time.
All you need to do is enter the code HON. That's HUN at checkout.
That's right. All you have to do is enter HUN when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is the ultimate luxury blend of travel, design, and sense. So, HUN, like Ross and Rachel, we're on a little break.
But not really.
Not really.
Right? We're truly like Ross and Rachel.
Were they on a break?
Never.
We don't know.
I'm not on a break, even though we're calling it a break.
Well, so this is like a really small break, you guys. We're just going to recalibrate for season 13, which is coming up.
And we're going to celebrate Women's Empowerment Month.
And Women's History Month.
And Women's History Month.
And we're actually going to, the first episode you're going to hear is the first On My Nightstand that we released almost 1 year ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is a special one.
Happy birthday, On My Nightstand. Uh-huh. And then for Women's Empowerment Month, we're re-releasing Sophia Rose.
Man, that's a fan favorite.
Right? She's the only fat over 40 Latina porn star. What? Uh-huh.
You go, girl. And the Scott Talks.
And the Scott Talks.
On the following day.
We have another great re-release for On My Nightstand. That's Wednesday by Robin Reiser.
That's a great one.
It's a tearjerker. Mm-hmm. And then Women's History Month re-release, we have Dolores Robinson.
She's the best storyteller.
Oh, my goodness. The only octogenarian living her best life, and she is.
And she's got some stories to tell.
Yes, she does. And then we're going to round off the break with Jill Sherry Robinson. No relation to Dolores.
They couldn't be more different other than they're great storytellers.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Jill is the only one that lost her memory. And she has all those great old Hollywood stories, hon.
Right on. Yeah, they're wonderful stories.
I mean, we were just like, we stopped the interview and we're like, just tell us stories.
I know. I still think we should do a whole episode of her just telling stories.
Yeah, maybe one day we will. But mm-hmm. That's what we have for you during the break. We really hope you enjoy it. And we will see you again in season 13. Lucky 13.
We love 13.
Yes, we do. So enjoy the break, enjoy these re-releases, and enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show. So Several times a week, Laura will turn to me after we get into bed and say those six little words I've been waiting to hear all day. Can I read something to you? Once I've said yes, she reaches for an item from her very cluttered nightstand and proceeds to bring that book, blog post, poem, essay, or article to life with her voice. I hope you enjoy listening to her read as much as I do. Here's this week's selection from Laura's Nightstand.
Hi, I'm Laura Cathcart Robbins. This is the first installment of On My Nightstand. And for this, I chose a piece that I wrote about meeting Scott, or Hun's, father for the very first time. Oh, and we need to tell Harry that you're black. Suddenly, the ceiling comes into focus, and I find myself fascinated by the white crisscross of the metal grid against the rust-colored paneling. I know I'm still standing in an elevator, but I'm also fuzzily aware that I'm somewhere else entirely. Wait, what? He knows that your girlfriend is coming from California today to meet him, I ask, finally finding my breath. Yes, he nods. And he doesn't know that I'm black? I hate that my voice sounds small. When Scott doesn't respond, I'm not sure if I've actually said this last part out loud. After a moment, though, Scott starts talking, telling me how hard it's been, how sick his father Harry was when he'd first arrived. He tells me about Harry's first heart attack, then the stroke, and now the trach, which prevents him from speaking, how he and his mom Nancy had been so worried about him, and how they hadn't wanted to upset him. And me being black would upset him, I ask. We just didn't know if it was the right time, he says. His blue eyes are pleading as he kisses me tenderly on the cheek and grabs me around the shoulders. Scott tells me later on that night how nervous he was during that elevator ride, how all his life he had this idea about his father, his limitations, his stubbornness, his open preference for people who looked like him. There were times when Scott's voice had a bitter edge when he spoke of his dad, Harry. One of the reasons he left Richmond the summer of 1988 was that his family seemed to accept a profoundly unacceptable status quo when it came to race relations. And now he tells me that he's hoping that his dad would be able to see beyond my blackness when I walk through his hospital room door. Scott has his arm draped protectively around my shoulder, and I allow him to escort me out of the elevator toward the ICU waiting room. I can feel panic bubbling up in my stomach when he turns to leave, and I close my eyes briefly, willing the feeling to settle down. A white woman behind the floor desk gives me a crisp smile as we pass, which I immediately take personally. I fight the waves of self-pity and anxiety that are now flooding into my chest cavity. Scott's been in Los Angeles with me for too long, I think. He can't really fathom what these people here in Richmond see when they look at me. I know he's not ready to hear what they think about their blonde-haired, blue-eyed white boy taking up with a black woman. A speaker in the hallway causes me to startle as a crackly voice announces a code blue. I walk over to a faded red chair in the empty ICU waiting room and sit down, propping my elbows on my knees. Resting my forehead in my hands, I squint my eyes shut and try to remember everything that Scott told me about Harry. It's so different there, Scott would say when speaking of Richmond. It's like out of another era. My dad never had any black friends. I mean, he might have occasionally had a smoke with the black guys who worked at the loading dock, but that was about it. Like most of his white friends, he did use the N-word when talking about black people, but not in a hateful way, more matter-of-factly. I've resented my dad my whole life, not necessarily for being a bigot, but for buying into such a racist system without ever even questioning it. What if that code blue was for Harry, I think? What if he's too frail to find out that I'm black? What if the very sight of me gives him a second heart attack? As if on cue, a large black woman comes through the door and is immediately followed by 30 or so of her family members. Within moments, the small space is reverberating with a cacophony of women shouting orders, children's laughter, and men's booming voices. Soon, every chair is filled, and the entire floor space is occupied with what seems to be a dozen or so children, all sprawled out on their bellies with coloring books. One of them, A girl with deep brown skin and shoulder-length braids looks to be in charge of crayons. She doles out a couple to each child with an authoritative, two for you. The stocky, light-skinned woman next to me smells like white cake, and I realize I haven't eaten since I arrived. I'm contemplating a quick run to the cafeteria on the first floor when Scott appears in the doorway of the waiting room. His eyes grow wide when he scans the room, which is now teeming with all these folks that weren't there a few minutes ago. I smile and wave shyly, but he continues to scan right past me. It takes a few moments before I realize that he doesn't know where I am. He can't find me in this sea of black people. I can almost hear him thinking, which one is mine? I stand up and enjoy watching relief spread over his face. Ready? He asks. I forget to switch to mouth breathing before we enter the ICU, and I am met with the smell of stagnant flesh, not too well covered up by the acrid odor of Lysol disinfectant. Scott's mother, Nancy, is inside the main area directly in front of us. She looks exactly like the pictures on Scott's desk at home. Short, neat gray hair, round blue eyes. Her teeth flash white as she smiles warmly in my direction. She reaches for my hand when I get close and pulls me in for a tight embrace. I am caught off guard by the immediate swelling behind my eyes. Hello there. Her voice is breathy and soft with a southern lilt. He's ready to meet you, Laura. The whir of breathing machines and hushed conversations disappear as soon as I round the corner into Harry's room. The first thing I notice is how small and fragile he looks, so slight underneath the pastel-colored hospital blanket. The second thing I notice are his eyes, or should I say Scott's eyes. Scott has the kindest eyes I've ever seen, large, bright, and sky blue, lined by thick, dark lashes, and surrounded by soft, crinkly smile lines. Those eyes are now staring back at me from the face of this man that I've never seen before. I walk around to his good side and set my purse in the chair next to his bed. Hi, I smile. I'm Laura. It's so good to meet you. The words just come without any thought or effort. His bald head is motionless, but his eyes are trained on me as I move. When I get close to his shoulder, his right hand springs to life and shimmies across the blanket, grabbing hold of my hand with impressive force. Harry's pale skin reminds me of parchment paper, but his hand is surprisingly soft. His fingers are strong as they wrap themselves around my knuckles and pull me closer to him. I'm staring into his eyes now because it looks as though he wants to say something. When his face breaks into a grimace, I look at Scott, who is perched at the foot of the bed, to see if he's okay. Nancy is still standing in the doorway. She's covering her mouth with her hand, and tears are streaming down her face. All at once, the right side of Harry's mouth begins to curve upward, and I get a glimpse of what he must have looked like before the stroke. Harry is smiling. Then he opens his thin lips and holds my hand out toward Scott, as if he were offering me to him. Beautiful. He mouths the word, but there's also a sound, not more than a whisper, but we all hear it. Beautiful, he says again. Nancy begins to cry out loud now, and I can taste salty tears in the back of my throat. As Harry is still holding on to my hand, I use the crook of my other elbow to wipe my cheeks. Yes, she is, Dad, says Scott. He doesn't bother to wipe the tears dripping off his face. Yes, she is. And just like that, Scott was able to let go of his old ideas about his father. He would never again be able to reconcile the man he always thought his father was with the man who held my hand and called me beautiful.
Oh, hun, let's not forget our Patreon shout-outs.
Oh, no. We have some really good ones,
hun. Yeah, we got some new ones.
We have some new ones.
Yeah, welcome to the crew.
But first, we have our OG Patreon, Rose Pricks Podcast.
It's still the only way I watch The Bachelor.
So The Bachelor this season has been a wild ride full of lies, deceptions, and unknowns. That's good stuff.
Yeah, that is. That's a, right? a good recipe, yeah.
Something. And if you have a love-hate relationship with The Bachelor, then the podcast Rose Pricks is for you.
Uh-huh.
Fellow comedians Angel Laquita Moore and our very own Stephanie Wilder Taylor.
Stephanie.
They dissect the drama, plus have important discussions on race, mental health, and feminism. But most of all, they keep it real. Real funny, that is.
Yep, they do. Hilarious.
New episodes drop Monday night or Tuesday morning if they're too tired.
I love that.
Right? So find them anywhere you listen to your podcasts.
All right, honey. So tell us, who is our next Patreon that we're shouting out today?
We have a new patron in Mercedes Cusick, LMFT. So excited about this. She's our friend and a supporter of the show, and we love her family.
Mercedes.
Mercedes. She is a licensed trauma therapist and certified EMDR therapist.
All right. You're going to tell me more about that, right?
Yeah. What that means that she's had advanced training in complex and developmental trauma, and she's doing something pretty incredible. It's called EMDR Intensives.
Hmm.
So this is a concierge curated program that's just for you, anyone who's listening. EMDR intensives range from half a day to several days and are the equivalent of, get this, 2 to 6 months of weekly therapy.
Wow. So what I'm understanding is that these intensives allow you to unpack the past and the pain without having to deal with everyday life stuff like carpools, morning meetings, presentations,
exactly,
stuff like that.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly, hon. Yeah. So Mercedes EMDR intensives allow you to update old narratives about how you get to show up in the world, who you are, and what you deserve.
Right. And these intensive formats, they decrease treatment time and they save you a lot of money in the long run.
They do. Mm-hmm. They do. So if you want to start feeling better now, and why wouldn't you, then EMDR intensives are the way to go. And California residents, click the link in our show notes to find the link to Mercedes Cusick's website and book your EMDR intensive today.
Yeah, and don't live with the pain of the past traumas any longer than you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Mercedes Cusick, LMFT, licensed trauma therapist, is located in Woodland Hills, California. Her website is www.mercedescusick.com. That's MercedesCusick.com.
Nice spelling, hon.
Thanks, hon. So, who's next?
Yeah, our final shout out of the day is for our friend Kathleen Hahn.
Oh, Kathleen, one of my favorite fans.
She is. And I was just saying that she's like been the official like secret taster of all our recipes before.
I mean, honey, we've been running everything kind of by her as it comes out.
Yes. From the very inception of the podcast to where we are now, she's always been a great fan, a great supporter. I think she wrote one of our first reviews on Apple Podcasts.
She did, didn't she? Yeah.
Yeah. And thank you so much, Kathleen, for joining our Patreon. Shout out to you. And we're going to hear more about Kathleen next month. So stay tuned. On My Nightstand is a special segment of the Only One in the Room podcast. Today's episode was produced by Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, and executively produced by Christina Barcy, who we call Barcy. Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible, brand new Only One interview, and every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading from something that I love. If you have an Only One in the Room story or a piece of writing that you'd like to share, please submit it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.